Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Keith Bell, who rejoins us on the show, thanks so much for coming back. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So, here we are at this point. The Yankees, and by the way, it's the Ring the Bell. It's the podcast, by the way, on the Believe Network. Heath, the Yankees are playing over 700 right now. Is it just one thing that's caused this, or is a lot of things fallen into place for them to make them the team they are to this point?
I think this is kind of a couple years to be making. I don't think it's just like one key. I think they've been kind of gelling as a team the last couple years, and everything's starting to work for them, the pitching, you know, the relieving and the hitting. So also defense. So I think it's just everything's working right now. Everything is like everybody's on the same page, and they don't have one flaw. It's kind of like them in the late 90s right now, I think.
Well, it's interesting, in the late 90s, they acquired from Seattle a guy named Tino Martinez in the late 90s. And he took a mediocre defensive infield, which they were. I don't know, and that includes Jeter. Jeter, you know, honestly, Jeter was an okay fielder.
I think he was an average shortstop. He wasn't the best. He wasn't the worst. Right. He was just a good, solid average.
But Tino Martinez and Mark Teixeira made him better. So what has Anthony Rizzo meant to this Yankee infield?
I think he kind of means the same exact thing. It's like you can have a good infield, but when you get a first baseman that can pick the ball, then your infield's not pressing that they have to make the perfect throw. Because, you know, an average infielder is going to throw the ball wide. He's going to bounce the ball. And if your infielder picks it, it's not an error. Mm. And then you feel better about yourself, like, hey, man, thanks for picking me up. And then all of a sudden you feel like you can go after more, or you're going to be a little bit better because you have that guy out there that is basically going to vacuum everything up and pick everything for you. And he's, you know, if you're a little bit off, he's going to help you out.
All right. The Phillies, you've been through managerial changes, Heath.
Mm-hmm.
So they changed managers, and they've been red hot since. They've only lost one game. Does it make that much of a difference? Does it change the personality of the clubhouse? Do you feel like you have a fresh start when something like that happens? Give me a player's point of view on that.
So a player's point of view to a manager is, it's one of those things. You have to feel like the manager's on your side, in your back. Because, you know, baseball is a game of failing. You got to fail 7 out of 10 times, you're a Hall of Famer. If you fail 8, you're a nobody.
Yeah.
But it's, the thing is you got to feel like he's on your side. And, you know, if you have a bad game, it's okay. You know, and it's almost like he's your leader. He's your mentor. And if you can't, if you don't believe in your leader, you don't believe in your boss is doing the right thing, then you're not going to do the right thing. And you'll be like, well, he should do this, he should do that. And when you have a manager that's like very honest to the players, like, hey, you know, I'll just give you an example. Let's just say Bryce Harper's playing right field. And they go, hey, Bryce, you know, I want you to have a day off, and, you know, let's pick a day. So he picks Thursday, the day game. Then he goes to the bench and says, you know, John Doe or whoever is off the bench, hey, you're going to, you know, Bryce is going to have a day off on Thursday and, like, say Sunday this week or whichever it is.
Right.
You're going to play those 2 days. So be ready for those 2 days. Then it actually, you know, Thursday comes, Sunday comes, whatnot, the day games. And he does. He starts those guys. Now those guys feel like whatever the manager says, he goes. But if he goes like, hey, Bryce is going to play, he's going to take a day off Thursday. And then all of a sudden he doesn't play over, somebody else plays over Joe Smith or whatever.
Right.
Or Bryce plays again, and the manager doesn't go and say, hey, look, Bryce, you know, it was his birthday. I didn't know about it, but I'm going to give you the next day. You know, and just be honest with the players. And when managers are honest with the players, you feel like you can achieve more with guys, because you can go out there and, like, say you're the backup guy. Your first two at-bats you don't hit well, and they're going to pitch hit for you. You feel like, oh, it's okay, I didn't have it today, but he's going to put me out there the next time. You know, or mm-hmm. – you know, usually you have two bench guys, and, you know, you root on that guy, and it's not, you're not like going against somebody, and you're all striding for the same thing in the same way. And so, like I said, your manager, even though kind of nowadays is not making the lineups and all that stuff, he's your leader. He's your mentor to get the guys riled up to go forward. And when they're losing a game or two and they're down, he's the guy that picks them up and says, hey, pat them on the back. It's okay. You're going to be out there next time. You're going to play in this game. You're going to pitch this situation again. Don't worry about it. You're my guy. And if you believe in that, then you play so much better.
In fact, I think we touched on this the last time, but in your own personal role, that when managers told you and there was a reliability of when you were going to be in the game, and you knew that day about the neighborhood you'd be in, it made a difference for you. I think that's how you phrased it to me.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. If you know that you're the seventh inning guy or you're the eighth inning guy, if you're three or less runs, you're the guy. You know you're getting ramped up. You're getting ready for that. Just like a position player is going to do it. He's going to get play that day game to give somebody a rest. You just feel that sense of pride, like, okay, this is my day. But my job on this team is to pitch either this inning in this situation or a position player to, like, I'm giving these guys days off. I'm not trying to beat out Bryce Harper or so-and-so. I'm here to give this guy a day off. So, and like I said, everybody's on the page and everybody's fighting for the same thing, is to win that ring at the end. Not necessarily, like a lot of people think, you're trying to do your best for that contract. You're really going out there trying to win a ring. And then all the other stuff comes in the offseason and stuff like that.
The Padres are 4 percentage points behind the Dodgers. And I don't think a lot of people realize that, because the Dodgers do get a lot of publicity. Tatis hasn't played yet. What do you like about the Padres to this point, and what potential impact can this guy have once he gets into the lineup?
Well, first of all, Padres haven't had a good leader, a good manager in the last couple of years, and Bob Melvin has fit that role perfectly.
Yeah.
Machado's, you know, having an MVP year. Eric Hosmer was having a really good start off the season, kind of fell off the last couple of weeks. But I really think it's our manager that's the difference maker. Because if you look at our lineup, most of the team is batting 200, 210, 220. Nobody's killing the ball, but everybody's playing as a team. Everybody's doing their thing. And when Tatis comes back, he's that big name guy. You know, when Machado got traded to the Dodgers, you know, a big name guy that gets traded that kind of spoots them along. Well, I think Tatis is kind of going to be the same thing without a trade. He's going to be back in that lineup. The defense is going to get a little bit better. Kim's been doing a great job over there, batting like 220, but, you know, doing as best he can. But Tatis is just way better. And then Tatis, with his power and the way he hits, I mean, he's basically like having another Machado in the lineup. So it's going to be like getting a big-name trade without trading anybody when he comes back.
It's a really good point. All right, now I'm going to go to the opposite end of the spectrum. The Pirates, and because we're talking about the local team here, once again, really struggling. I mean, lost 7 in a row. They became the last team in the National League to clear 200 runs scored. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'll tell you, like, from my perspective, and of course, you know, I've announced so many college football and basketball games in my career, so I take it from that perspective. There's always been a saying around here, you'd rather play a guy a game too late than a game too early. You know, it's more of a confidence thing than anything else. When the Pirates come back home, I'm almost a proponent now of, you know what, bring up all the prospects and just start playing them. Now, how do you feel about it? Because what they have now isn't working. So you might as well get the populace excited about something, in my opinion. What's your opinion from the players' point of view?
Well, you've got to figure out what's going wrong. You know, is it, I'm not saying it's the manager's, you know, fault or whatnot, but you got to figure out why our guys not gelling together and what's the deal. You don't want to just, here's the worst thing you can do. You can call up the prospects and play them every day, but do they get in the culture of just losing? And it's like, well, let me just get my numbers. Let me give me a quality start as a pitcher, but I don't care if I win or not.
Right.
And then you're not breeding winning. And position players are like, let me just get my hit. I know we're not going to win this game or whatnot. And then they're going to get down on themselves and this and that, and hitting can be contagious and this and that. And also losing can be contagious. Mm-hmm. So the coaching staff there has got to figure out what's going on. They got to do something. They got to lighten up the mood because, you know, it was a short while ago. Wasn't the Pirates that went and beat L.A.?
Yeah, took three Dodgers. Straight. Took three straight.
So let's look back and see what did they do there. Like I said, the manager is kind of like your dictate of where you're going. Look at the Phillies. Look at the Padres the last couple of years. They had brand-new managers that have never been in the big leagues, never played in the big leagues.
Right.
We're just front office guys that coached a little bit in the minors. And then you get Bob Melvin, and it's literally the same team without one of their star players, and they're right behind the Dodgers. So it's one of those things that I really believe the manager is a huge part of this, but you get, and with Pittsburgh, you got, what were you doing going into LA? You know, what were the guys thinking? What were they doing? You got to go match that. You got to be like, okay, look, we're not going to win the whole thing, but why not? Nobody expects us to win. So you got to get the guys to believe that as a manager. Like, managing games is not like it used to be, where you put in the right guys and this and that. I mean, I think it is a little bit, but you also have to inspire the guys. It's a lot of inspirement and getting guys to play all on the same page and to work for the, you know, the best thing for the organization. Like, did anybody think the Pirates were going to win the World Series this year?
No.
Everybody, no, be honestly, no. But you have to get the guys to think, why not us? Why not?
Right.
You're like, why not? You know, everybody counts us out, but let's go and show them. We can throw just as hard. We can throw, catch the ball. We can hit the ball. Why not? Nobody's going to go, Pittsburgh, we got to really be on our A game. You know, so that's where the managerial, you inspire guys. I feel like managers have to inspire guys more, and they have to, they can't just do the whole team. They got to do individuals. So,
all right. So now I want to ask you one more broad question. How do you feel about analytics in the game?
I feel like analytics is overused. I believe that it's a good thing. It's like a pitcher. That's the easiest way to understand, to tell people. A pitcher has to establish their fastball, and they have to hit their, you know, inside and outside and keep the ball down. And if they have a good curveball, that even makes them a better pitcher. I mean, look at Rivera, Mo. He basically had a cut fastball. He had one pitch, and he was really good because he could locate it.
Right.
But you need multiple pitches. So if you use analytics as your one pitch, like your cut fastball, or your just your fastball, it's not going to work over time. But if you use it as your second or third, you know, pitch, I think it can work. But you can't just go, well, this guy, he gets on base a lot. Okay, but he's batting .220. Yeah, but he walks a lot. He gets on. Okay, well, this guy has so many quality starts, but he loses every game. You know, right. This guy has a great spin rotation. Okay, but he gets hit. Yeah, but his rotation's great. You know, the RPMs or whatever.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. It's.
And I'm just like, okay, so tell me, is this stat that I think they all use is the WAR stat? You know, that they love.
Yeah.
The analytics people, I think, love. So yeah. You're telling me that Mike Trout has one of the best WARs in the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's wins against run, or what's the
replacement? Wins against replacement.
Okay, so if he has the best winning stat, don't you think he should win? His team should win a lot, but the Angels don't.
Right.
So please explain to me how it's wins replacement. But so you're telling me that if they didn't have Mike Trout, like Mike Trout should make them win 40 games, and they only win 70 games, so they should only win 30 games without Mike Trout? I mean. I don't understand how it equates to winning games.
I know.
And I think analytics have forgot about winning games. The good teams hit guys over. They steal bases. They hit and run.
Yes, they do.
You know, bunting they do a little bit, but not a huge amount.
Mm-hmm.
And today, but analytics says bunting should be get out of here. Hit and run shouldn't matter. It should be about hitting the ball as far. It's about, you know, how hard you hit it off the bat. Great. You hit the ball 110 miles an hour off the bat, but you're batting .230. So great. You know, like you're hitting the ball 150 miles off the bat, but you're hitting it right at people. I'd rather have a guy hit it 80 and find a hole. Like Tony Gwynn used to say, you know, you just have bad aim. Aim for the holes.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know how hitters can aim for the holes, but you know, he was a different breed. But analytics, I'm not huge in analytics. Do I think some analytics is good? Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's cool to get better, but it's not a tool to win games.
To me, analytics are an excellent supplement. Okay, because I want all the information I can get. At that point, let me make the decisions. Okay?
Yeah.
And then you go from there. That's how I've always looked. And when it comes to Mike Trout, I'll never forget the year that Miguel Cabrera won the Triple Crown. And the debate was, but look at all of Trout's wins above replacement. Look, you and I both know the guy replacing Trout isn't as good as he is. Okay, I got it. Okay. I can see that with my own eyes. All right. But Cabrera's Triple Crown allowed Detroit to win. You take him off the team, they're not going to win the division, which they did that year. Trout,
exactly.
They were 10 games under 500 with him. What with Trout? What does it matter what his numbers were?
Yeah, that's my big thing about analytics.
Yes.
You can't argue that part. Like, if you're telling me you give this team and you do all analytics, they should win every single year. Because,
yes,
like, we all look at analytics like Moneyball and Oakland, whatnot. Yeah. Why don't they win every single year? They're supposedly the best at it. Or even look at the Red Sox have done it. And they said, we win analytics, we win the big name players, and then we got rid of everybody. We win analytics. They're good for like 1 year, and then they suck for like two or three. Then they're good for another year, and then they suck.
Yeah. Yeah, as soon as they spend more money. Yeah, right.
Let's have baseball guys. I would rather have a baseball hitter than a guy that just gets on base all the time.
Yep.
Because what happens when we face a really good team, like just say the Dodgers or the Padres right now, that have a good pitching staff, they're not going to walk anybody. They're going to strike people out.
Yeah.
So you need somebody that hits the ball.
Yeah.
Everybody else, maybe like Pittsburgh, they're going to walk some guys.
Right.
But not the good teams, not the first place teams. They're going to throw strikes. So you got to get somebody that actually hit the ball good. So anyway.
Well said. Thanks. I always love it. Hey, look, you lived it. That's why I asked it. You know, so I appreciate it. Appreciate you very much. Look forward to our next conversation. It's always great.
Thanks for having me. Take care, guys.